Welcome to the intersection of faith and the culture. This is the Wall Builder Show. We're taking on the hot topics of the day from a biblical, historical, and constitutional perspective. We appreciate you joining us today. Be sure and visit our website today at wallbuilders.com. Wallbuilders.com. That name, of course, coming out of the scripture in Nehemiah. This says, arise and rebuild the walls that we may no longer be a reproach. This is the time, folks, to rebuild the foundations of this country. This is the time to bring back those founding principles that made our nation great in the first place. Highly encourage you to go to that website today, wallbuilders.com. Get you some good materials. We're going to share some of that good information with you over the next couple of days. We've been doing this over the last month or so. We've shared some of the programs, some of the presentations from our Pro Family Legislators Conference. Great speakers that come in there and just give a wealth of information. And it's a chance for those legislators to sharpen each other's countenance. But you, our Wall Builders audience, and we, the host, we all need that iron sharpening iron. And so we're going to share some of those presentations this week. Today, it's Glenn Beck. Excited to bring this to you. Here's Glenn Beck at the Pro Family Legislators Conference.
So I just really wanted to stop by and say hello. I wanted to tell you some thoughts of where I think we're headed and try to lift your arms up just a little bit. Play Aaron to your Moses. I think the Lord's coming soon. There is so much happening right now that is stunning. I went back and I listened to my speech. We did something in 2011 called Restoring Courage, and it was in Israel. And I was the first Christian speaker to speak at the Western Wall since, like, I don't know, 70. I gave a speech and prayed on it for months. And this whole event, I really didn't even want to do. You know, when you get a prompting and it's like, hey, go give a big speech someplace in Israel. And I know you're building that network thing, but do this first. Okay. So David actually went with me, and everybody in the airport. I brought a bunch of people with me, all of different faiths that were going to speak the truth to me. And they sat in the airport with me as we were getting ready to go. And they said, Glenn, you know, this, you want to do this in like 3 months. This is an international event. And I don't think, and I'm like, talk to him. Don't talk to me. Talk to him. Cause I've been saying that to him for months. We go over, and through miracle, literally miracle after miracle after miracle, this event happens. And 15,000 people from America come, and people come from all over the world to be there. And it was amazing, amazing. There were 3 suicide vests out on targeting our event. Met with Benjamin Netanyahu that morning, and he said, I want you to know this is no longer your event. This is an Israeli military operation now. And for a while on the Temple Mount right behind me, I could look up and I could see people peeking out from the mosque right there. And I thought, wow, I didn't know they had Hindus. They all have red dots on their head. I wonder, oh, no. It's horrible, horrible. Why would you say something like that? Don't, that's not right. It's really horrible. But I listened to the speech last night, and it was prophetic. It was, we prayed over every word and wanted to make sure it was what God wanted to say, and it could have been written today. It was, I watched it last night with today in mind and that day. And I watch it from 2011 perspective, and I'm like, this is weird in 2011. It's absolutely on target today. And it was all about grab the hem of a Jew. It is time for all of us to grab the hem of a Jew. It is time for us, if anybody thinks to themselves, if you've ever thought this, I'm German, for German descent. All my people were here long before the Nazis. But Beck is a pretty common name over in Germany. And I have always wondered who in my family line participated. Am I related to anybody who didn't stand or worse participated in it? And I've always wondered, what would I have done? If you've ever wondered that, you now have your answer. Because whatever you're doing right now is what you would have done. We are living in amazing times. And it gives us an opportunity to either hide, which most people will do. Most people will say, they'll bury their heads in the sand and they'll say, I can't even think about it. I have too many things going on. I don't even want to think about it. I can't change any of that. If I get involved, people will do X, Y, or Z, or I'll lose X, Y, or Z. I can't. Woe unto them. Most people will do that. And they'll think they're not making a choice. I'm neutral. I'm not on either side. I'm neutral. No, you are. Because this game is played on the field and there are no stands. Everybody's on the field. And you're on one team or another, whether you like it or not. And if you don't choose today, you will choose poorly. I brought my kids to Israel the first time 12 years ago. And my wife doesn't like me picking vacations. In fact, the whole family has decided that I can no longer pick the vacation. That was the last one I picked. I said, we're going to Israel. And they were like, great. And I said, but we're going to make a quick stop at Auschwitz first. And the family was like, oh, Dad.
Got to take a quick break, folks. Stay with us. You're listening to The Wall Builder Show. Have you noticed the vacuum of leadership in America? We're looking around for leaders of principle to step up, and too often, no one is there. God is raising up a generation of young leaders with a passion for impacting the world around them. They're crying out for the mentorship and leadership training they need. Patriot Academy was created to meet that need. Patriot Academy graduates now serve in state capitals around America, in the halls of Congress, in business, in the film industry, in the pulpit, in every area of the culture. They're leading effectively and impacting the world around them. Patriot Academy is now expanding across the nation, and now's your chance to experience this life-changing week that trains champions to change the world. Visit PatriotAcademy.com for dates and locations. Our core program is still for young leaders 16 to 25 years old, but we also now have a citizen track for adults. So visit the website today to learn more. Help us fill the void of leadership in America. Join us in training champions to change the world at PatriotAcademy.com.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. In the minds of many today, government is a purely secular institution and is not in any way to be joined to religious principles. The result is that too often our public policies are now enacted without any consideration of their spiritual consequences. However, the Founding Fathers believed that even a political act should always be examined from a spiritual viewpoint. For example, in his inaugural address, President George Washington declared, "We ought to be persuaded that the favorable smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained." President George Washington believed that the blessings of heaven would reside on this nation only so long as its national policies embraced godly standards.
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.
Welcome back to the Wall Builder Show. You're listening to Glenn Beck at the Pro Family Legislators Conference. Let's jump right back into his presentation.
I told my kids, you cannot understand Israel and understand why it exists if you don't understand what the Germans and everybody else did in the world 19 separate times throughout history. You cannot understand the state of Israel and its importance unless you've been there. So I asked my kids to read any book from anyone who was one of the righteous among the nations. The righteous among the nations were the Christians who, for some reason or another, saved Jews. A lot of people, this was so tragic when I learned this, a lot of people did it because they knew the person. And so a lot of people that saved a Jew said they saved a Jew and maybe his family and nobody else because, yeah, Jews are all like that, but this is my Jew. I know this Jew. He's not like that. The others, I found, had a simple reason for doing it. I asked my kids to read, and then after we toured Auschwitz, we met with this woman. She must have been about, 80 years old by the time we met her. Her name was Paulina, an incredibly shy woman. She wouldn't let us take a picture of her. I have one picture because I first convinced her, can I just take a picture of your hands? And she did. And then we kind of became friends. And then right before we left, she said, you may take one picture with you and me. So I have one picture of her. Humble, humble, humble lady. She was 16 years old when she started saving Jews. Right there at Auschwitz. 16. It was against the law to feed a Jew more than 600 calories a day. So 600 calories a day, that's enough to keep you alive, but barely. You're weak. She was walking down the street, and this girl that she didn't know had a star on her. And she's walking down the street, and she ran into her, and she said, do you have any food? And she said, I don't, but meet me here tomorrow. She goes home. She's having dinner with her mom and dad. She said, Mom and Dad, I did something today you probably are not going to like. Forks went down. She looked at her dad across the table and said, I told a Jew that I would bring them food tomorrow. She said, my mom and dad did not look at me the rest of the story. She said they just looked at each other the whole time. She said she was hungry and I just felt so bad for her and I have to bring her food. She said dead silence for a while at the table and then mom got up, got a giant pot from out underneath the stove, started filling it with water. And Paulina said, Mom, what are you doing? She said, if she's hungry, you know she has family and friends that are hungry too. I'm making soup. She made a giant pot of soup, and that's how it started. I went back to New York. By happenstance, I talked about this woman, and I get a phone call. He's a janitor in New York. He is old, never, ever. He was German Jew, never ever told his family about the Holocaust, never talked to him about it. Didn't want them to go through it, didn't want to go through it himself. And he was listening to me, and I talked about Paulina, and he called my office and he said, she saved my life. They met each other for the first time since they were both teenagers. She took 100 people, her and her family, to a barn way outside of the city. They lifted up all the floorboards on the barn and then dug trenches about that deep underneath the joists of the floorboard. 100 people stayed in that. The stories he told as a kid about the Nazis coming in, tearing apart the barn, but not figuring out, and they're all holding their breath underneath the floorboards. The woman who had a small child who started to cry. And how he, as a 13, 14-year-old kid, could see just through the light on the floorboards the mother crying as she held cloth over her child's face And when the Germans were gone, so was the child. He went to America. She stayed in communist Poland. She never had told her story to anybody. It wasn't cool if you're in communist Poland to be one of the righteous among the nations. I asked her, I said, I speak to a lot of people, Paulina, a lot, and I know this is coming again. It always does, and it has the same swagger and the same stench to it. It's coming again. What do I say to people? How can I water the tree of righteousness in these millions of people? What do I do? She looked at me so kindly, and she grabbed my hand. She said, "You misunderstand. The righteous didn't suddenly become righteous. They remembered what they were taught was true. And while the rest of humanity went over the cliff, they stood still. That's how you be righteous today. It doesn't take some awesome, heroic superhero. It takes you remembering what's right and what is wrong. We all know it. We used to call it common sense, but common sense is completely gone now. The world is truly upside down. The world is truly in a place where good is called evil and evil is called good. I didn't understand that 20 years ago after the World Trade Center. I start burying my head in the scriptures, and I can't imagine living in a world where everything that was good and is good is called evil. Well, we're here now. What an awesome opportunity.
Hi, friends. We're going to interrupt Glenn for just a second. Got to take a quick break. Stay with us. You're listening to Wall Builders.
Hi, friends. This is Tim Barton of Wall Builders. This is a time when most Americans don't know much about American history or even Hebrews of the faith. And I know oftentimes for parents, we're trying to find good content for our kids to read. And if you remember back to the Bible, to the book of Hebrews, it has the Faith Hall of Fame where they outlined the leaders of faith that had gone before them. Well, this is something that as Americans, we really want to go back and outline some of these heroes, not just of American history, but heroes of Christianity and our faith as well. I want to let you know about some biographical sketches we have available on our website. One is called the Courageous Leaders Collection. And this collection includes people like Abigail Adams, Abraham Lincoln, Francis Scott Key, George Washington Carver, Susanna Wesley, even the Wright brothers. And there's a second collection called Heroes of History. In this collection, you'll read about people like Benjamin Franklin or Christopher Columbus, Daniel Boone, George Washington, Harriet Tubman. Friends, the list goes on and on. This is a great collection for your young person to have and read, and it's a providential view of American and Christian history. This is available at wallbuilders.com. That's www.wallbuilders.com.
We're back here on Wall Builders. Thanks for staying with us. We've been enjoying a presentation from Glenn Beck at the Pro Family Legislators Conference. So let's jump right back in. Here's Glenn Beck.
My dad and I used to speak all the time on the phone before he died. We'd speak every day, and we'd read books together, learn together. I knew my dad was about to die. He turned about 80. And I started telling him about a book. I said, "Dad, you got to read this with me. This is fantastic." And he said, "Okay." And I knew he wasn't going to read it. And I said, "You're not going to read it, are you?" He said, "No." I said, "How come?" And he said, "I'm tired." And I hung up the phone, and I knew I was going to lose my dad because he was tired of learning. He was tired of searching. He said to me before he died, I can't believe the problems that you are facing and the things that are coming your way, meaning all of us. He said, I've I've seen World War II, I've seen Cold War, I've seen a lot. He said, but I haven't seen this. He said, I'm anxious to watch how you work it all out.
Yeah.
Me too. The question I want to posit in your heart that you might chew on for a while. They say history repeats itself. If that's true, we're going to see another Holocaust. If that is true, we're going to see another world war. If that is true, what we have always known as a country that somehow or another, without any of us knowing, is built into an empire, is going to fall. That's history. I don't want that. And it's going to be an individual choice by each of us. What you choose to do today to either feel irrelevant or you can't do it or I'm tired or there's no help, those are all lies, all excuses. And I use them myself all the time. I come home every day and I say to my wife, I can't do this anymore. I just can't do it anymore. I say to my producers, we pray every morning. Sometimes my producers will be praying for me because I've done 2 hours of show prep, looked at the world and said, I have nothing hopeful to say to anyone. They're all lies. Moses was slow of speech. Are you? Lazarus was dead. What excuse do we have? My gosh. I just want you to ponder what's coming. And will you leave a legacy so your children will not be like the many Becks in Germany that when asked, so tell me about your family history. Don't want to talk about that time period. They may not even know about that, what their family chose to do, because nobody talked about it. You have the opportunity to leave a legacy to your children, your grandchildren, and your great-great-great-grandchildren that will say, when the world plunged into darkness once again, when the empire was about to fall apart, we realized we weren't supposed to be an empire. The way to do good is to serve one another, to free each other. And I stood with nothing, no reason to hope, except I know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I so appreciate you. They're so seemingly... so few really that really truly get it, know what we are truly up against. And we are not fighting Democrats or independents or Republicans. We are fighting evil. And it is very clear. And you are warriors. Stay close to the Lord. Stay close to the Lord. Some of us will be here to see the miracles that God is going to bring. And I truly feel we're not going to see the finger of God. Like the founder said, that we saw the finger of God. I think we're going to see the whole arm of God. We are going to see Moses-style miracles in our life. And it is a joy and a privilege to serve him so we know exactly who we were meant to be. You were meant for this time. You were born for this time. You have every tool in you that you need. You have everything, everything you need. And you are the ones who are awake. I don't know how it happened to me. I don't. But thank God I'm awake and I can see things that others can't see. You are here because you're awake. Now, let evil in the world push up against you. Because you know who you are, you know what is true, you are going to become a giant. Giants aren't built in meh times. This is not a meh time. And you are giants. Thank you.
All right, folks, that was Glenn Beck speaking at the Pro Family Legislators Conference. Hope you enjoyed that. We've got more of that coming over the next couple of days. And then there's a lot available in the archives at our website, wallbuilderslive.com, where you can get the radio program and jump into those archives as well. But, of course, a wealth of information at wallbuilders.com. You can get the Constitution classes. You can get Foundations of Freedom. You can get the kids' books. I mean, all of those things are available to you there. And one other thing I want to encourage you to check out while you're on the website today at wallbuilders.com, check out the pastor's briefings and send that link to your pastor. It is an amazing couple of days in Washington, D.C., where they get the tour. I mean, they get to see all the cool stuff from history, but they get to hear from a lot of great speakers as well, and they will come back home to your community, to your church, on fire for the Lord, on fire for biblical principles, and on fire for being salt and light in the community. Check that out today, pastor's briefings. You can see it at our website, wallbuilders.com. Thanks so much for listening to Wallbuilders.